Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
All right. Well, we have many great people in this church. Well, some are fantastic, some are great, some are, you know. It's best we stop there, Nat. But we do have heaps of great people in this church. We've been incredibly blessed with that as a church. One of those great people is Chrissy. She's on our board. She's one of our key leaders. I got another 5 minutes of stuff to introduce you with, Chrissy. No? Okay. Why don't we just give a big hand for Chrissy as she comes and shares the word.
Okay. Thanks for that. I've turned 40 recently, and one of the things that I've realised is I can't see as well as I used to. The Bible probably is the 30-year-old Bible, not the 40-year-old Bible. So if you see me peering down, it's because I actually can't see. So what I wanted to talk to you guys today was about dreaming. And it's actually a question that I wanted you to hold in your heart while you're listening to this. And that is, when's the last time you really dreamt? That kind of dream that stayed with you, that lingered with you, that you woke up going, wow, what was that about? And when you dreamed that kind of a dream, did you immediately think that God was trying to get your attention? Or did you actually think it was last night's pizza? Because I firmly believe that dreaming and the realm of dreaming belongs to the Lord, and that he uses this as a really powerful tool to give us just a glimpse into what he has planned. It's the offer of a partnership that we have with him to do something great. And all through the Bible, Scripture shows us stories over and over again about the way God uses ordinary men and women. He gives them dreams, he gives them visions, and they go on to accomplish amazing things for God. There are so many stories, but the one that I love the most is the story of Joseph. The story of Joseph is such a special story for me personally. And while I wish I had time to read the whole book out to you, we're going to use his story today just to have a glimpse of what God can show us about dreams and visions, to pull out a couple of keys that hopefully we can apply to our own lives, to see what is God calling us to do. So the story of Joseph begins in Genesis 37. We have a young shepherd who has a dream. And it's a dream that I think if I had it, I'd probably just dismiss it. It's quite a simple dream, and in fact, he has two. And his dreams are, we were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose up. It stood upright, while your sheaves all gathered round and bowed down to it. Then his brothers said to them, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? But he had another dream. My other dream was that the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed down to me. Now, like all good people who have dreams, the first thing he wanted to do was share it, and he chose his brothers and his dad. Ordinarily, I think they're pretty good choices, but the Bible tells us that they actually didn't have a great relationship. It was probably that bad that his brothers wanted to kill him. So when he goes and tells them these dreams, their immediate reaction is, how do we stop this? The way that they interpreted the dream was that God was going to raise this young, arrogant shepherd boy to rule over a family. The dynamics of the family was already complicated, and we know that Joseph was the father's favourite, and I kind of think this just made it worse. And even though his father himself rebuked Joseph for his dreams, verse 11 tells us that he held the matter in mind. To me, even his dad knew there was something within this dream. So I guess here is my first key. Be careful who you share your dreams with. Think about and have wisdom about who and when to tell the dream to. I have a really good friend of mine who 10 years ago had a dream. It was a really simple dream, a little bit like Joseph. She dreamt of 100 houses in a country called Thailand. Now, she chose to tell me her dream, and I really wanted to tell you that I stood up here and I have this great story about how I partnered her in faith. But my truth is that I was actually at best diplomatic. And my words to her was, well, if God wants it, he'll find a way. She really believed in her heart that what the dream was about was that God was calling her to build 100 houses in Thailand. And so while I told her to go away and pray about it, I actually thought it would be helpful if I told her all the reasons why this might not be a great idea. My friend had never actually been out of the country. She didn't have a passport. I don't really think she knew where Thailand was. She had no idea how to build anything. She was a computer architect. And she had recently lost her own home. So the fact that she was standing there telling me God had given her this dream, I wanted to believe for her, but I couldn't. And over time, she was so convicted that this was what God wanted, that she did pray. And she had the humility to understand that for this to happen, God was going to have to do this. And so over the next couple of years, I watched as she prayed, God bring finance, resources, a well-known architect who had actually offered to design the houses, to source the material, to be on site when they first started building them. And so this person who didn't have a passport, who didn't know where Thailand was, built houses in Thailand. And so there are houses there for no other reason than because God gave somebody a dream. And that person was willing to submit that dream to God, to pray into it and see how it could happen. And so back to our story of Joseph, and I want to tell you that things get better for him. But instead of killing him, they decide that actually, no, we'll just sell you into slavery. And so Joseph starts a life as a slave, but finds a good home. He finds himself into the house of Potiphar, who's the master and puts him in charge of everything. And I think for me, this is where the story gets interesting. It keeps telling us that the Lord was with Joseph. Even in this almost silly situation of being in prison, as a slave, the Lord was with him. And he prospered him in that area. And then things still don't go well for Joseph, and Joseph does find himself in prison for something he actually doesn't do. So now I'm even feeling bad for Joseph, and I think it is unfair. And again, this verse keeps coming up. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. And for me, I think this is a word for us, and often when things get hard and rocky, we wonder whether God is there. In fact, I wish I was a bit like Joseph, but I'm totally not. And if I step out in faith and do something, the first sign of trouble, my first question is, where's God? Where are you? Why did you leave me here? Why have we done this? And actually, maybe this isn't you, and I've got this incredibly wrong. And I think for a couple of us today, there is a message here that when things get rocky, God is probably still in it. He's probably still finding that way to prosper you. But the problem is you're so caught up in the distress of where you are. You can't see God and you can't feel his provision. So he finds himself in prison, and yes, God has prospered him, and he's faced with a really interesting situation. A cupbearer and a baker find themselves in prison with him. And they have dreams. And Joseph asks them, why are you so sad? And they both reply the same reply, we have these dreams, but there's no one to interpret them for us and tell us what they mean. Now it amazes me that Joseph, having all the bad luck in the world with dreams, even wants to go there. But he agrees to interpret these dreams. But he only agrees because of one reason, and that's a reason that I think is really important for us to understand. He says, do not all interpretations belong to God, so tell me your dream. He was never of the opinion that he knew how to interpret these dreams, but he knew that through this connection with God, God would give them the answers that they were looking for. And so my question to you is, if you have those dreams that I asked you to keep in your head earlier and they don't make any sense, God is the interpreter of dreams. All we need to do is come to him to ask him, what do those dreams mean? And trust that he will give us those answers. And so, as the story goes, the cupbearer and the baker's dreams are definitely interpreted correctly. And because of that, he finds himself in front of Pharaoh. Here is his chance to finally get out of prison. All he needs to do is to interpret a dream. Now, by this stage, I think if I'm Joseph, I think I've got a good track record. I've interpreted a couple. We're on a good part. I think I can do this. But instead, when he's put in front of Pharaoh, in chapter 41, verse 16, he says, I cannot do this, but God will give Pharaoh the answers that he desires. Again, for me, there's this humility of understanding who it is who interprets dreams. Bit like me, I will have a couple of quick successes with some things that God wants me to do and very quickly think that I can continue to do them. I forget that I need that partnership with God to get things done. But for me, the whole story of Joseph is this continual dependency. And because he interprets this dream and he has this humility, Pharaoh puts him in charge of everything in Egypt. And finally, for me, I feel like Joseph's got to win. But he's put in charge at a time that's tough. And he relies continually on dreams to understand how to prepare the people of Egypt for a famine and how to store up grain and how to then provide when people need it. And finally, we see 13 years later, this dream that he has about the sheaf and the sun and the moon's bowing to him. We see his brothers and his fathers returning from a place of famine to seek food and provision. And by this stage, again, I'm thinking, if I'm him, I've got a whole lot of words I want to tell those brothers before I give them anything to eat. Probably wouldn't even want to give them anything to eat. And I definitely would have an I told you so moment. But again, there's some humility in Joseph. And he has this understanding that it's definitely not for him. And he knows that his brothers were just merely vehicles for what had to happen. And in Genesis 45, it tells us when he talks to his brothers, "Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here. It was because to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will be no ploughing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you, a remnant on earth, to save your lives by a great deliverance." To me, I think when he originally had that dream as a 17-year-old, I don't really know whether he understood the implications of it. But after all the trials and all the connection with God, you see that there's this humble man, full of wisdom, who can see the hand of God who has been on him all through this journey. And so the story of Joseph really talks to me about what it means to partner with God in the whole process of dreaming. There's a whole way that God deals with us through our dreams. And it's this glimpse. You know, we hear people who are called dreamers often referred to having their head in the clouds. I actually think it's quite literal. There's this opportunity for us to glimpse the spiritual realm, to see things from God's perspective, to have a look at what we could achieve if we decide to partner with him. In fact, it's just an invitation. The dream is only part of it. It's a potential of things that could happen. And then what we need to do is work out, how do I pull down what's in heaven and onto earth and make it a reality? You know, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So how do we find what we see up there and pull it into here? Well, through Joseph's story, it's a very simple one. It's with the connection with God. Your dream is like a potential or a catalyst, and it needs something to connect to. And the thing it's trying to connect to is God. Just like my friend who built the 100 houses, she knew she was totally dependent on God for this to happen. She knew she had no skill in the area. It almost, I think it made it easier for her, because she knew if God didn't come through, well, this dream wasn't going to happen. And I think for us sometimes, it's understanding that when we get these dreams, that they're not about us going in our own strength and making them happen and how are we going to find the money, how are we going to find the influence that we need. It's knowing that we need that connection more than ever with God, that as we continue to pray to him, he shows us blueprints, visions, dreams, brings people across our paths, brings resource across our paths to see this happen. And it's not just in the Old Testament. As much as I love Joseph, God has used dreams through the whole Bible. If I look at in Acts chapter 9, he uses Ananias. Ananias is just a man that he gives a vision to go and pray for Saul. And that becomes instrumental because he's also given Saul a dream that someone called Ananias was going to come to him and pray for him, and the scales would fall off his eyes and his sight would be restored. So there's something in me that says there's obedience. If you read chapter 9 of Acts, Ananias just doesn't hear the vision and charge off. He actually has a little bit of dialogue with God, which I'm glad to see. He's challenged and he says, "But this man could actually kill me." Following dreams and visions takes risk. There is always something that it costs you to be obedient to these dreams. In the very next chapter of Acts, Peter has a similar dream where he's called to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile. Jews don't go into the homes of Gentiles. But because he does, an entire community of people are saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. But again, it tells me about risk and it tells me about obedience. So you could be sitting here and saying, this is all very nice for Bible stories, but what do dreams and visions have to do with our lives today? It's really interesting that the prophet Joel talks about dreams and visions, and he talks about them in the context of the last days. And he says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. It's interesting that this same scripture is used by Peter to explain the coming of Pentecost and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So now more than ever, God is asking us to dream with him. He's really calling us into this partnership and giving us this opportunity to be something great with him. But again, there are probably reasons why many of us don't dream. And there's some of the things that I wanted to talk about today. What is it that stops you from dreaming? As a practical adult, I think the world has done a lot to discourage us from dreaming. It seems fanciful, even foolish. But the Bible tells us that he will use the foolishness to shame the wise. You know, he tells us concerning our faith, be like little children. I think little children are natural dreamers. They instinctively have big dreams. And as family and a community, it's our job to just protect the dreams of our kids. Instead of being the dream crushers, we have the ability to tell them to take those dreams to God. And if there's something in it, God will provide for them. It's not for us to show them how to make this dream happen. It's not for us to tell them that it won't. God will tell these kids what to do. The same way he tells us. Often our dreams seem so fanciful that we think it's they're easy to dismiss. One of the things that I see quite often is in adults and children is that the enemy wants to block that communication channel. And what better way to do it than give us nightmares? Make us so scared that we not only don't want to dream, we don't even want to sleep. At church, we've been talking a lot over the last few weeks about restoration. And I really believe in my spirit that that's the work God still wants to do in us. There's this part where he wants to reconcile and restore this whole concept of dreaming and that dreaming dimension. For some of us sitting here, we have the answers to the world's problems. Those miracles that somebody else is praying for are sitting in this room. God has given you dreams and visions. He's given our kids dreams and visions. For us, some of us have just put them away and dismissed them. We might have tried a little bit like Joseph, and the minute we hit a rocky patch, threw our hands in the air and said, this isn't from God. But the truth is, I think God wants to restore that. Maybe you tried to do it on your own. Maybe like me, who's very quick to have a few quick wins and try to work it all through, who wants to get it all lined up. It's about releasing those things to God and saying, if you want it done, show me. The one thing I see through the life of Joseph, through the story of Ananias and Peter, is these people spent time in the presence of God. It wasn't a one-off event where they got their dream, ran off and did things. It was this continual cycle back and forth. Because after all, our whole journey with God is about relationship. The only reason he even wastes time giving us dreams and visions, because he doesn't need our help, is to make us part of something, to include us in what he wants to do for his kingdom. So for those of you who have suffered from nightmares, from night terrors, I think they're commonly called, God wants to restore that to you. And I know in a little while we are going to open the altar for prayer. And I think it's really important that you come and bring that forward and get prayer. The other group of people that God has really placed on my heart are the people who God has given dreams to. What I love about Joel's scripture is it says, there is no age limit on dreams. You may have had a dream 20 years ago that you haven't seen come to pass. There are no time frames on this. It's all about coming back. Maybe there is something you need to do. Maybe there's something that you need to stir that dream up. Maybe there's disappointments to overcome because you have stepped out and been disappointed about what didn't or did happen. But God wants to restore that because there's still a work. People, in all these cases in Scripture, the dream was given to them for a purpose, and the purpose was always a big one. It wasn't about satisfying Joseph. It wasn't about satisfying Ananias or Peter. It was about doing something for people who had a need. And then there's that. If you hang around Compass long enough, you'll hear Phil talk about dreaming big. I think sometimes it's the bottom of his emails, his texts. He might even have a t-shirt. It is something that has been incredibly annoying for me. And I can say it because I've talked to Phil. And over the years, I am convinced that I don't dream. I have big dreams. It's not how I'm wired. I'm a practical person. I'm very logical. If somebody comes to me with a dream, I'm very happy to tell them what they can and cannot do with it. But as for me, I don't dream. But when I really search my heart, and there's nothing about having to preach on a topic that God checks you first, it was about all those things inside me that I had buried. Because the dreams are hard. And often they're so overwhelming that I feel almost arrogant to have them. You know, who am I to have this kind of a dream? Why would God pick me? I have no skill, I have no idea what I'm doing on any given day. Why give me this? And then there's also this element of risk. I don't know that I want the risk. What happens when it doesn't work out? What happens if God doesn't come through for me after I've stepped out? So it's so much easier to not dream. And just like everything with Jesus and God, it's an invitation. He's not going to force dreams on you. He's not going to force you to have visions. So if you don't want to be open to it because of the whole lot of fear, they just stop. And again, I think that's something God wants to speak into. Our pastor hasn't got this thing in his head about dreaming big unless he believes that we need to. You know, we're in a church and a community of people that I believe Compass is calling us to be a dream incubator, a place where people can come and dream and explore and reconnect with God, and that it's a safe place for them. It's a place where I really believe that we will hear stories and testimonies about what God has done through us, through our dreams, through our visions. You know, I look at the youth and our kids and I know that there are amazing things for them. But they're only going to do those amazing things if we as a community of believers encourage them. If we take the time to spend, to listen to their dreams, to be practical but to also be spiritual. Now, there's a part where everything in your head says no, but everything in your heart and your spirit needs to say yes. Because with God, nothing is impossible. So I'd like to close with the following question. When was the last time you dreamt? Because God wants us to dream. I don't think it's an option for us. I think if we want to be and have the impact on this community and the world, the only option we have is to partner with God and to dream a dream. So, Father, I just wanted to thank you for this opportunity, Father, to explore your dreaming. I thank you for the people in this room. I thank you that you have called each one of us into a relationship with him. I thank you that you have chosen each of us to partner with, that you want to use that communication channel of dreams and visions to show us something of what happens in the supernatural and the spiritual realm. I thank you, Father, that you have it sorted, that for those dreams to come true, that you have a plan and a purpose, and that as we stay connected to you and as we keep seeking you, that you bring the resource we need, you bring the divine connections that we need to see it come to pass. And finally, God, I thank you that you are the God of our sleep, that with you that there is peace to dream, and the things that are not from you, Father, just don't have that ability to penetrate. So, Father, I just thank you for your word today. Bless everybody in this room. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.